If you just got a glimpse of the place we're going next, you might not guess it's a battlefield. It's a district where orchards fill valleys between snow-capped mountains. And as in most of Afghanistan, the homes are surrounded by simple mud walls. It was in this scenic area west of Kabul, a district called Nurk, that four American soldiers were killed this week. Explosions hit them on the roadside, in a place where U.S. forces and the Afghan government are trying to create a neighborhood watch program. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson has been traveling with a U.S. Special Forces team there.
The Green Berets rev up on energy drinks and the Ted Nugent anthem, Free for All, as they roll into Nur on a narrow, rocky road. They're here to inspect several new checkpoints and meet with local villagers to try and get them to partner with the Afghan government to drive militants out of their valleys. But in this district, where Death to America is spray-painted Ndadi on mud walls, they are more likely to run into militants who prefer gunfights to conversation. The Taliban tracking radio a special forces interpreter carries reveals just how close they are.
Last night they taught Arabic, Urdu, you know, Pashtun language, different language. And the music of the Taliban. Baba John Juresi. Hey, Jure. Agree.
The Afghan interpreter taunts the Taliban on the radio. He wants to rattle the militants to let them know Afghan and American forces are here. American troops have already driven many insurgents out of this region to create a window of quiet for the Afghan Public Protection Force to move in. The force being established here and across Wardak province is made up of local villagers. They are selected by their leaders and are given 3 weeks of training and AK-47s to defend their homes and families. These so-called guardians also have radios and cell phones to call for American and Afghan reinforcements when needed. But in Nur, it's proving hard for the American team to find recruits.
They seem pretty distrustful, and they seem pretty isolationist when it comes to anyone trying to help them. Whether it's us or insurgent forces who come through the village, they just kind of want to be left alone. But so our challenge is trying to get them to realize that, hey, this is their program, and they have a lot of buy-in to it. And the more they put into it, the more they're going to gain.
That's the team's commander. He can't give his name for security reasons. We'll call him Johnny. He takes his team to a village called Karimdad. The Green Berets recently set up a checkpoint here, not far from where three guardians were killed and three more wounded in a roadside bombing last month.
Assalamu alaikum. How you doing? What's your name?
The checkpoint is manned by the elite Afghan Civil Order Police because there still are no guardians in Karimdad. Johnny's deputy, whom we'll call Joe, walks up a hill to speak with a few male villagers standing outside their front doors.
We would like to request fit young men who are willing to protect their families and their villages from the insurgents.
As an Afghan colleague translates, the villagers stare silently at the tall American with red hair. Joe tries another approach.
Once we can bring some stability to this area, we can improve the roads, improve the schools, improve your farmland.
They nod and grunt, but still no one volunteers. Joe tries again.
So we're asking for your help.
The villagers balk. They complain that the policemen at the new checkpoint bully them. Gul Rahim is a farmer.
We are being kept from planting and watering our fields and moving around our village at night. We know the enemy comes here, but we don't know who he is. The police give us a hard time because they think we're involved.
Joe tells them that wouldn't happen if the villagers formed a public protection force.
If they're here instead of us being here, they can tell the difference between the good guys and the bad guys.
How blurred those lines are becomes clear a short while later. The Afghan police officers accompanying the American team get a tip that there are roadside bombs up ahead. The Green Berets decide to come back the next day to clear the road, but the Afghan police officers who were supposed to go with them never showed up. So the heavily armed American team fans out across orchards in search of telltale wires, metal, even discarded plastic that might lead them to the explosives.
Aren't you worried about triggering it?
Well, we wouldn't. Hopefully we'd find the wire.
Problem is they started using really long command wires. Most of them are a couple hundred meters
around here.
Some of them have been up to 1,300 meters.
No bombs are found, but several men darting through another orchard where militants like to hide get the team's attention.
Hey!
The gunners prepare to fire their 50 caliber weapons in the air as the Green Berets storm the orchard, but the suspects don't stop. The Americans catch 8 men. They tell the team they are farmers. After answering a few questions, they are let go. Johnny says that even when his men don't find bombs or militants, the clearing operations send an important message.
We know it's a historic ambush site, and we've had some reports of people, you know, setting up on us, getting ready to ambush us. And it kind of deters the enemy a little bit and also kind of lets them know that we're actively out there watching for them.
In another part of Nurh, newly hired Afghan guardians are also on the watch for the Taliban. They are loyal to Torgul, a revered former Mujahideen commander who fought against the Soviets when they occupied Afghanistan. Johnny's team delivers new AK-47s to the guardians. Torgul walks around on crutches with a fresh scar on his forehead. The injuries came courtesy of the roadside bomb attack that killed 3 of his men last month in nearby Karim Dad. But Torgul says the attack won't stop him from being a guardian.
Our foreign guests are here working on our behalf, so why shouldn't we? We should be on the front lines, not them. This is our area.
Yet students and teachers at a girls' school in Torgul's valley balk at having a guardian checkpoint put near their school. Teachers Diwa and Hamida argue with Johnny, saying that parents won't let their daughters come to school anymore if the checkpoint goes up. They say it doesn't matter if the guardians are from their clan. They fear the checkpoint will make them a Taliban target. Saraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News in Nurh, Afghanistan.
You can find photos of U.S. troops and Afghan police working to gain the confidence of Afghans by going to npr.org.